I'm Andrew Green, and this is the Thursday edition of Flick Pick, the edition of the podcast where Jacob Holmes and I talk about the new films coming out any given week at the cinema. Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so we've got, you know, first of all, we're knee deep now. We're pretty deep into awards season.
Pretty much getting there. A lot of award season movies tend to get their limited release about this time, and then, smaller markets tend to get them like around Christmas or after Christmas, even into January. So right. I'd say we're like just starting.
All right,
at least for us, for our corner of the world, we're just starting.
And we're getting a trickle of the heavy hitters for the year. And, you know, we've got a few of them playing right now here in Benton Harbor, St. Joe. When we look at what's playing at Celebration Cinema this weekend, well, there is something I want to mention, but first when we just talk about the new releases, we've got two new releases
this
week.
Yes, two new releases.
Which one seems more high profile to you?
I don't know, because these are both pretty small movies. So let's just start with the alphabetical one, Dark Waters.
Dark Waters. This has Mark Ruffalo as an attorney. Is this like a thriller? Do you know
it's
much
a,
about
it's
this?
A true story. I'd say it's more of a drama, but it's a true story about, Mark Ruffalo plays this attorney who, goes to this town in Pennsylvania, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was Ohio. I'll double check.
Or if it's Ohio. So, it's been a while since I looked at the synopsis, but there've been a lot of, a growing number of unexplained illnesses and deaths. And one of the world's largest corporations is seated. They have like a little location, in this, small town, and a lot of people are starting an alarming number of people are getting sick and dying in this town. And so, Mark Ruffalo his character is brought in to, it's DuPont. It's DuPont.
Right.
And he basically figures out that DuPont is doing bad things.
They're polluting the water.
They're
in
polluting
this small
the
town.
Water. They're polluting the drinking water specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And so he finds out that it's because of what they're doing. And so he just takes them on.
Right, and he works for them at the start of the film. He's like one of their corporate defense attorneys.
Right.
So he has inside info. And he agrees to represent this farmer whose cattle have been killed from drinking water in this stream. And, it winds up with him in this big legal battle. Now, Wikipedia describes this as a legal thriller, so, you know.
Oh, okay. I find thriller is such, like, a... I'm forgetting what the right word for this is, but it's, like, you can...
It's a
blanket term. Yes, exactly. It can cover a wide variety of movies. Like what some people call horror, I call a thriller, or what some people call thriller, I see more as like a drama, I guess was the vibe I got from this. It is one of those movies. It is one of those movies where, you know, the big corporate lawyer finds the truth and risks everything to expose it.
Right. And his wife is Anne Hathaway in this film. And it looks like there may be some conflict between them. She may be wondering why he's risking his career to stand up for this farmer.
Tim Robbins is in this movie.
All right. I haven't seen him in something for a while.
He pops up every now and then.
Bill Pullman is in this film.
Yeah.
So
Victor Garber, I remember him.
Oh, yeah?
He was the architect in the ship architect in Titanic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And also the jerky professor in Legally Blonde.
Okay.
That's what I remember him from.
By the way, on a quick aside, I just want to say, everyone always makes fun of and insults Titanic, and I still think it's a good movie.
I think it's a fine movie.
But anyway, this is Dark Waters. Is there a buzz yet? Do we have a...
Oh, yeah, it's getting really, really strong reviews. It tells its real-life story really well. It honors the victims. It takes itself seriously.
Okay.
And the filmmakers really made sure that they told the story right.
Well, that's good. You know, I really like Mark Ruffalo. He's a
I do too. It's nice to see him in something outside of the Hulk.
I tend to see all the films with him except for those Hulk films, the Marvel ones. Spotlight was a great movie with him.
Was that that's the last one I can remember that he was in that wasn't Marvel.
You know, let's do a quick search. I bet you he's been in a bunch of like indie films that we never heard of or something. Let's research Mark Ruffalo's career. Pull up his IMDb page.
Since 2012. He was in Now You See Me.
Now You See Me Too.
Now You See Me Too. Spotlight, yeah.
Foxcatcher.
Aside of that, yeah, it's just been Marvel.
Well, Begin Again. That's a great movie with Keira Knightley that he was in.
Okay.
Check out that movie. It's got great music. Anyway. So it's Dark Waters, you know, it's an option, it's a thriller, it's a true story, it's a tale of...
They'll probably make a run for that for, like, acting noms for the award season, I'm guessing.
Okay. Now, the director is Todd Haynes. Are we familiar with him?
Not to my knowledge.
Let's take a gander at his page. Wonderstruck, Carol.
Oh, I've heard of those movies.
The rest I haven't really heard of. Looks like he did some music videos in his early days. Anyway,
I've heard of Carol. That had Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara. It was like a romantic movie.
Oh, okay. Romantic drama. All right. Well, you know, there's good people involved in this film. It has a decent enough premise. Could be a winner. As far as the other new film playing this weekend, I'm kind of baffled by this one.
This movie is a strange case.
What is this? It's Playmobil.
Playmobil the movie.
Okay, now first of all, what is Playmobil?
It's like the poor man's version of Lego.
Okay, so that's like a brand name or something?
Yes.
Okay.
It is a direct competitor to Lego.
Okay, so they're the poor man's Lego. So what is this film?
What happens when somebody sees when a competitor looks at the Lego movie and is like, "We can do that."
So it's the poor man's Lego movie.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Oh. It's the Lego movie without any of the actors, without any chart. Well, it's got Daniel Radcliffe in it.
Right, that sort of makes it stand out a little.
So the Lego movie had Chris Pratt, Elizabeth Banks, I'm just going off the top of my head, Nick Offerman, Charlie Day, Will Arnett. This movie has Daniel Radcliffe, Anya Taylor-Joy, which I thought was interesting.
I do like her. She's
yeah,
great.
Jim Gaffigan, right. Adam Lambert, Kenan Thompson, and Meghan Trainor.
Well, you know, those people are fairly, you know, respectable, but this is no Lego movie caliber cast. By the way, I hope Jim Gaffigan talks about Hot Pockets in this film.
You know, I wouldn't put it past a movie like this.
Yeah, why not?
I know next to nothing about this movie, like the plot or anything, but like, it just looks like, again, the poor man's Lego movie.
Yeah, and it's weird. They're releasing it with Frozen 2 still going. I mean, you know, it's only been out for a few weeks.
Which is funny you mention that because the director of this movie, one Lino DeSalvo, this is his directorial debut, but his previous credits are as an animator for several Disney movies, and his last known credit, at least that I saw, he was the head of animation for the first Frozen movie 6 years ago.
All right. Yeah, he did the same thing for Tangled, for Bolt, I see.
Yeah, Bolt, Tangled, a couple other movies in between. So he was a big-time animator at Disney, and then I looked him up after Frozen. Paramount got him to like be the head of their newly formed animation studio in 2016, but they didn't like, he's not listed as an executive producer on anything that they've made, the few movies that they've put out since then. And now he's with a totally different animation studio that made this.
Okay. Well, you know, what's funny, the IMDb description of this film, here's a sign of how little the IMDb cares about Playmobil the movie. It says, quote, "Animated feature film inspired by the Playmobil brand toys."
All right.
That's the description.
I think the only thing I know is that Daniel Radcliffe's character is like a secret agent.
That's right. I remember seeing he's like a James Bond type or something.
Right. Which, speaking of James Bond, did you see the trailer for the next one, No Time to Die?
No. When did that come out?
Yesterday.
Oh, I missed that.
And I've, strangely enough, been seeing TV spots promoting, like, watch the trailer online. I'm like, I don't see that a whole lot. Or maybe they do, because I don't really watch TV anymore. I just catch that in passing.
Huh.
But that looks, I don't know. I thought Spectre was a well enough Daniel Craig send-off, but they got to do another one. I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, I am a big James Bond fan. You know what I started doing recently? I had this, like, spare DVD case that only holds, like, maybe 30 DVDs.
Sure.
I had no use for it, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to put all my James Bond DVDs in there.
Well, they fit because No Time to Die is the 25th.
Right, and I counted the number of slots available. I was like, okay, I got like 11 of them. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep buying Bond movies when I happen to see them out in the wild. Even the bad ones, and then fill this thing in. Anyway, that's the most important thing going on in my life right now.
But much more important than Playmobil the movie.
I suppose so. Playmobil the movie, yeah.
This is, which is also funny because, so this movie's been out for a while, actually, because this movie was made in France.
Okay.
And it came out in France back in August. And I think it was supposed to come out, and it came out in the UK, I think later in that month or a little bit after, like in September.
Okay.
And then it was supposed to come out here in the States around the same time, but the studio was like, no, let's just shove it in this nothing weekend in December.
So they were like, no, let's wait until Frozen isn't in the theaters.
Yeah, it's like even STX is the distributor of this movie. And it's like even they don't really care about it.
Playmobil is based in Germany, the toy company.
Yes.
Now, Lego is from,
Denmark.
Okay, so this is Germany trying to,
And they have, and Lego has many, 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 many more years on Playmobil. I think I looked it up as I was coming up here. Playmobil was founded in like the 70s, and Lego's been around for a lot longer than that.
Yeah, rip off Legos. All right.
Do you know anybody who's ever I'm assuming you never had a Playmobil thing because you had never heard of them.
I never heard of them until you told me what it was.
Didn't have any Playmobils. I had Legos.
I had very few Legos. You know, my mom wouldn't let me have a lot of Legos because she was like, I'm going to step all over them, all over the house.
I never had that problem. I love putting Legos together, and I would keep them together because they looked cool.
I think she was probably right. I would have just lost them all over. Anyway.
Well, I think it was safe because I confined all the Lego stuff to my room. So it was my problem if I ever did that.
Well, all right.
It's like, and that's the other thing about Playmobil. Like, Lego had got the licenses to all these different characters and properties and whatnot. Playmobil never did that. They just have their own thing.
Right.
So it's like they don't have any, there's zero draw to this movie except for those few people or kids who have Playmobils. But it's just it's just weird. It's just it just seems kind of desperate, a little desperate from the competitor.
It's kind of sad. You know, they should release a Tinker Toy movie or something. A
Tinker Toy movie.
Do those still exist?
Or Mega Bloks.
Mega Bloks, Lincoln Logs.
I had one of those. That's the other big competitor to Lego is Mega Bloks. I don't even know if they're still around.
I don't know. I never heard of them. Are Lincoln Logs still around?
I think so.
A Lincoln Log movie.
Lincoln Log movie.
All right. Let's stop picking on the Playmobil movie. It's the other new film opening this weekend. So out of the two new releases, the choice is pretty obvious.
Out of the new releases, yes, Dark Waters is probably the much better option.
All right, now looking at the other films playing at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor, there's something interesting going on this week. I don't know if you've checked the website yet.
I have. They're showing some Christmas movies.
They are.
So I think they do this every year.
It sounds right. But anyway, so other films playing. 21 Bridges is still open. That's the police drama action.
With Chadwick Boseman, yep.
All right. By most accounts, it's okay, right? Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is still playing, which I enjoyed a lot. I gave a very positive review.
And you actually, over the Thanksgiving holiday, you told me you saw it for a third time.
Right. You know, my mom wanted to see it. I tried to convince her to see Knives Out, but she was like, I want to see that one with Tom Hanks. And I was like, oh, fine. You know, since she was paying. So. Yeah.
Well, that's not a bad trade.
No, it's not. I mean, I gave it a five-star review.
I still need to see if I need to see if my girlfriend wants to go see it this weekend because I do want to see this movie, and we've already seen Knives Out.
Check it out. It's really, really good. Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood with Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers. As mentioned, Dark Waters opens up. And as you mentioned, there's a bunch of Christmas movies playing this weekend, one of which is Dr. Seuss's The Grinch.
It's last year's Grinch, the one that Illumination made. The people who made Despicable Me, starring the one with Benedict Cumberbatch as the Grinch.
Right.
I didn't see it because I don't care for Illumination's movies.
Okay, I haven't seen it either. I think that maybe the Nostalgia Critic reviewed this week. Anyway, it's the last year's Grinch movie. It has one showtime each day this weekend. So if you want to see that, check it out.
Yeah, it's like $5 for anyone to get in.
All right. Also playing is Ford versus Ferrari, which by all accounts is really good, right?
Yeah, and it's doing pretty well for itself at the box office for the kind of movie that it is. I still really want to see it. I don't know when I'll get to see it at this point, but I really want to check this movie out.
All right. Frozen 2 is still playing. That you think it'll be at number one again?
I think so. I think it set a record on the Thanksgiving weekend. Mm-hmm. Or at least it's, I think, I don't know. It's too early to say if this will actually surpass the first Frozen in terms of box office, because the reason the Frozen 1 had got so big at the box office was because people kept coming back to see it. And it came out at a good time when kids were getting off school, so parents could keep taking them to it. And I think also around that time, that was one of the first polar vortexes I can remember. So even when school was coming back to, even after the holiday or before the holidays, schools were closed because of the weather. And so parents were like, well, shoot, we got to entertain our kids. They like Frozen. Let's go back and see Frozen.
You know what those parents could truly say on those days?
I was frozen today.
That'll never get old.
There you go.
So I don't know. It's the opening numbers for Frozen 2 are stronger than the first movie, but I don't. I think the jury's still out if it will actually end up making more money in the long run. But I predict that will once again three-peat at number one this weekend.
My sister took my little 3.5-year-old niece to see Frozen 2, and she was scared by it.
It is a little more. It's a different movie than the first one. There are some more intense moments, some more dramatic moments.
Yeah, I asked her. I said, "What'd you think of Frozen 2?" And she said, "It was scary." Anyway, that's Frozen 2. It's still going. You know what else is still playing is Harriet. It's still got showtime.
Oh, wow.
That's been a while now, hasn't it?
Speaking of legs at the box office.
Yeah, it's down to one showtime, but you can still check out Harriet, which I recommend. It was very good and inspiring. Also playing is Knives Out, which I intend to see this weekend. I missed it last weekend.
And I talked about this at length on our last episode, the day before Thanksgiving, because I had already seen it. I didn't see anything this past weekend. We were too busy. But no, Knives Out is, I highly recommend that movie. It is a ton of fun. It is one of the most entertaining movies I've seen this year. And even though it's got really, really strong, good reviews, I don't think it'll do anything come awards time because of the kind of movie it is. It is at its heart kind of a popcorn murder mystery.
Right, but it's a good popcorn.
But it's really good. Yeah, it's really, really good. I highly recommend checking out this movie, even if you're the least bit curious.
I'll see it this weekend. It did pretty well at the box office.
Yeah, I think it already made back its production budget.
Oh, yeah, it's sitting at a total gross right now of $41 million. So, yeah, there you go. It's Knives Out. I will be there. Also playing is Last Christmas, the Christmas film with the Mother of Dragons.
Yes.
Amelia Clarke.
Yeah, Amelia Clarke. I don't know why I drew a blank on her name.
I could totally spoil this movie for you because I heard a few things. But anyway,
I won't. Yeah, let's not do it on the show.
Okay. Also still playing is Midway, which I also thought was pretty decent. I mean,
my grandparents told me had said they had seen it a while back at the when I went to see them at Thanksgiving, and they raved about it.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Was your grandpa wasn't a World War II vet? No. Okay.
No, but he's a big history buff.
All right. Playing with Fire is still playing, the firefighting comedy.
The John Cena.
With John Cena. Yeah, you know, not very well received.
Have you ever seen press junket stuff with John Cena and them for this movie?
I looked it up.
They're trying to promote it. And just seeing John Cena and Judy Greer, who's also in this, trying to hype up this movie, so to say, is oh, guys, you knew exactly what kind of movie this was.
Yeah, you know, Judy Greer is deserving of so much better.
She does get better, though. Pops up in the weirdest things. I'm just whoa, Judy Greer's in this?
Well, it's funny. I'm looking at the poster for Playing with Fire right now. The tagline is 0% contained.
Because they're firefighters.
You know, it'd be funny if it said 0% Rotten Tomatoes score.
Oh, it's not really true, but...
It'd just be funny to see on the poster, right?
I want to know if there's ever been a movie that's been proudly displayed a 0% Rotten Tomatoes score.
I don't know.
I think Gotti was pretty close to that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and in the taglines they commercials they had for it, they promoted it they kind of used that to try and sell the movie.
Come and see how bad this film really is. Yeah, Gotti did get a 0%. I found a list here of films with 0% scores.
I need to look back at like at what that promotion or what that marketing campaign was that had them talking about like the critics hating that movie, because I know they did it.
Well, I'm looking at a list of all the 0% Rotten Tomatoes movies. There's like 36 of them.
Uh-huh.
I've seen a lot of these.
Is that like a complete list of?
According to Decider.com, it is.
Okay.
But it includes...
I know it is a rare feat, but...
Mac and Me, Highlander 2, The Quickening.
Yes.
Return to the Blue Lagoon, Look Who's Talking Now. Yeah, I've seen a lot of these films. Anyway, you know what? Let's get back on track. Also playing, as mentioned, is the Playmobil movie. The Polar Express is playing this weekend.
That's another one of the Christmas movies that they've got showing. Which is, you know, Polar Express is kind of like a big... It's a big hit. It's a favorite around here. Like, I know, like, it's got, like, people's perception of it is pretty mixed because of the animation, especially at the time when it came out back in 2004. But among my friends who grew up in Michigan, it's a favorite of theirs. And I think that has something to do with the fact that I remember in the movie that they do make it a point that I think the main kid is from like Grand Rapids, because that's where the author and illustrator of the original book, Chris Van Allsburg, is from Michigan, I believe, also Grand Rapids. So it's kind of it's a Michigan product. So,
I did not know that.
Yeah, so I think that's why it kind of has a lot of people in Michigan have kind of a heart for it, even despite, you know, whatever faults the movie version might have.
Well, you know, I just searched for it on YouTube, and somebody has uploaded the entire film to YouTube.
Oh, of course.
So watch it that way before it gets taken down.
No, don't promote piracy. We don't promote piracy on this show.
Well, you don't. I'm just kidding. Also playing is Queen and Slim. That's the drama with Daniel Kaluuya.
Which also did pretty well at the box office, again, for the kind of movie that it is. Also, it wasn't put in as many screens. I think it was only like 1,500 screens that this movie was put in. And it was like number 4 at the box office, I believe. So, yeah, that movie's doing pretty all right.
All right. The Good Liar, the thriller with Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen, still going.
That was another movie that my grandparents saw since the last time I saw them. And they also raved about that as well.
They loved it?
Yeah, they loved it.
Oh, did they tell you anything about it?
No, they just said that they thought that, you know, Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen were fantastic and that they loved all the twists and turns.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, that's an accurate description.
I wasn't at all surprised to hear that they loved it.
Right.
I think you described it when you saw this movie, that there were a lot of older people there and they were really into it.
That is true. They were gasping and reacting to everything. Like, dun, dun, dun. But yeah, it was all right. And then also playing at Celebration Cinema this weekend is White Christmas.
The third Christmas movie they've got showing. And yeah, that's a classic.
It is a classic, and it's available this weekend. So you can check that out. If you had to recommend anything playing at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor this weekend, what would it be?
Ooh, probably, I would say the best movie out right now, at least to my knowledge, from what I can speak to, is Knives Out.
Knives Out? I would recommend, for those who haven't seen it, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, but, you know, Knives
Out.
And
I really do want to go check that movie out, too. And, that could, and you know, when I see it, that could overtake my opinion. I may think, oh, Knives Out is, or Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is better than Knives Out. But they both, I know Knives Out is a great movie, and Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood sounds like a great movie as well.
Well,
I can't speak to that until I see it, so...
I'll be at Knives Out this weekend, but you know where else I'll also be is the Vickers Theater in Three Oaks is playing Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, Jojo Rabbit. I guess we're not going to get it here in the Benton Harbor celebration, but I'm glad I got to see it up in Grand Rapids with my buddies when we did. But yeah, no, I highly recommend that movie. That's another one of my favorite movies from the year. It's really entertaining.
Yeah, I'm going to go down to Three Oaks and check it out. It's fun to see movies at the Vickers because the guy, I think he owns it, he'll come out and he'll read some trivia questions before the film, and people who answer correctly will get like free popcorn and stuff.
Oh, nice. I still need to, that's on my list of things to do, is to go see something at the Vickers.
They're also showing Judy in case you still want to see that.
Oh, nice. AFI, or yeah, the American Film Institute, named Renee Zellweger the best actress of the year for that movie.
That is correct. And
so we'll probably be hearing about that movie again come Oscar time, and I didn't think that would happen, so...
Which reminds me, the film that I reviewed for Flick Pick this week is The Irishman from Martin Scorsese, and that was the best picture of the AFI.
Yeah, they did name that.
And by the way, The Irishman is very, very good. You know?
I need to see it. They're actually going to show it. There's a movie theater at the Notre Dame Performing Arts Center in South Bend, the DeBartolo Performing Arts Center. And I didn't know that they had a movie theater down there, but they are going to show The Irishman next weekend.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so I might see it that way because, I don't know, there's something weird about watching movies like that on Netflix at home. It sounds bad, but I'm like so much more inclined to be distracted watching a movie at home and like not paying attention to the movie.
Same here.
And this sounds like a movie that like you really should pay attention to like really appreciate what Martin Scorsese did with that.
That is true. The good thing is when I saw The Irishman, I was at my mom's house and she has a huge HD big screen TV, you know, a much higher quality than mine.
Nice.
So, you know, it was like, okay, if I have to watch this via Netflix, at least I'm watching it on like a high-end television.
Yeah.
And it was very good. You know, the de-aging effects I felt were pretty seamless. I didn't see any problems with those.
And it didn't feel like 3.5 hours?
It didn't. It did not feel, it felt kind of long, but not 3.5 hours.
And you watched it all in one sitting.
I did.
See, there's so many reports. Like, first off, if you go on, apparently people are taking to Twitter to express how they find the movie boring.
Really? Well, that's not surprising.
Or how people are watching it in like chunks.
Okay, well, that's not the proper way to watch The Irishman.
Well, Netflix did that too. They released the full roadshow version of Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight, but they've released it in parts.
Okay.
They didn't release it all as one film. They released it in parts, and it's not that much longer than the original theatrical cut of that movie. It's just so weird to me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I intend to watch it all in one, The Irishman, all in one sitting.
Check it out. It's a great film. I think it will be nominated for Best Picture this year. It seems pretty safe.
Which will again call into the debate: should Netflix movies count at the movie awards?
Yes.
Well, they have to put them in theaters, a limited theater run. There's like a bare minimum theatrical run that they have to put the movies in for them to even be in contention. But a lot of people see that as like cheating.
Yeah, I suppose so. But at least they're making some kind of an attempt to get it in a handful of theaters.
It's just like in like L.A. or New York. But I don't know how they do it over at the Notre Dame Theater if they just pull up someone's Netflix account and project it on there, or if they have an actual the actual file or distributor gave, or if Netflix gave them like an actual thing to do that.
I know they were showing The Irishman at least one theater in Chicago. I know that. So, L.A., New York, Chicago.
The really big cities.
Right. I wonder if I could have seen it in the theater when I was in Detroit. Anyway, check out The Irishman. I think that covers it for the weekend box office.
Yeah, next week should be pretty busy. I know the sequel to Jumanji comes out next weekend.
I've been getting that trailer a lot.
I have too. I might. I don't know if I want to see it. Because I remember I saw the last movie, which I don't want to say the first movie because it was that one was actually a sequel to the original Jumanji movie with Robin Williams.
Right.
But I don't know if I want to see this next one. But I mean, like, it looks funny because I thought the last Jumanji movie was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I like have had not really had a desire to watch it again.
Same here. I was at Meijer the other night. They had a bunch of DVDs on sale for super cheap.
Yeah, like leftovers from Black Friday.
One of them was, the Jumanji movie with The Rock and Jack Black.
Right.
It was like $3.
Oh, wow.
And I picked it up, and I was like, I put it in my cart, and then I thought, and I took it back out of the cart. It's like, nah.
It's not worth $3.
Not even. I enjoyed it in the theater, but
it was fun. It was fun in the moment. I don't know. The only thing that's like making me somewhat curious about this one is Danny DeVito's in it.
That's true.
And The Rock is like doing, because he ends up in The Rock's body, his character in the game. Mm-hmm. And so The Rock is doing a Danny DeVito impression. I'm like, okay, this could be funny.
It could be. But I'll probably end up skipping it, I think. Do we know what else comes out next week?
I don't know. I think there's some movies that are like, I don't know, like the Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler comes out, or it's supposed to come out next weekend. I don't know if we'll get it here because it's an A24 movie and it's always up in the air with those.
Mm.
I know, I think Bombshell comes out in limited release next weekend.
Bombshell? What's that?
That's the movie about the Fox News Roger Ailes scandal.
Oh yeah, I checked
with
that
with Margot Robbie, Nicole Kidman, and Charlize Theron as Megyn Kelly.
Okay, Cats is supposed to come out this month sometime.
It comes out the same day as Star Wars.
Oh really?
Talk about putting a movie, setting up a movie to fail.
Talk about counter programming.
Yeah, I still am going to see that because I am morbidly curious.
I see that 1917 doesn't come out until December 25th.
Yeah, which means it'll probably be like a January wide release for that.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, we at least know we have Jumanji next week to talk about.
We always have Jumanji. All right, well, that does it for this edition of Flick Pick. Let's just wrap it up. I'm Andrew Green. This has been Flick Pick with Jacob Holmes. I'll be back tomorrow with a Flick Pick review of The Irishman.